You turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 26 through 56. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 723. But we read these words in the book of Luke. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who has said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she encountered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you will bear. And why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?' As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. 'Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.' And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And now all the generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds in his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.' And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned home." Wonderful story. Wonderful lessons we can learn from this, and we pray that God will bless our hearts as we hear them.
We certainly thank you for being willing to share your gifts with us today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I had a message turned in to me. It says this: it is Mary Jo's 40th birthday. And that comes from Taylor Willis. Mary Jo, you should never let people know how old you are. You don't think you did? But I couldn't resist when I saw who that was from. Okay, if you have your Bibles open once again, I want to speak to you today on the subject of Mary, how blessed. What has God asked you to do? What has He placed on your heart as your life's mission? What has He requested of you that's going to take you outside of where you're really comfortable? Now, as you consider that, I want you to consider what this young girl named Mary must have been experiencing. God was requesting of her that she do an amazing thing in carrying him into this world, and then placing upon her the responsibility of training her up, of training him up, and of raising him. When Jesus became born as a man, even though he is God, he still needed cared for as any other baby. He still needed fed. I'm going to assume probably still needed burped. Needed to be changed. Needed to be bathed. Needed to be cared for in the same way any other child. And yet, with this amazing little child, the responsibility was placed upon Mary to see that he was protected, to see that he was cared for, to see that he was loved, to see that he was trained up. And there's no doubt in my mind that Mary would probably take that little baby Jesus and while however they had rocking chairs back then, would rock that child and sing and hum and whisper and kiss that child and say, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful that God has given you to me. You know, that should be the heartbeat of every woman as she gives birth. To care for that child. To nurture it. To provide for it. To raise it. And now you put on top of that, that this is God. That she's being trusted with. Wow. That is absolutely an incredible responsibility. It is unbelievable what this young girl was being held accountable for. And I am convinced that in her heart and in her mind, there was probably those moments when she's thinking, am I doing everything exactly right? Am I caring for this child exactly the way that this child should be cared for? Am I meeting all of the needs that he has? Am I up to the calling of God on my life? We all question those things at times. When God places on us a responsibility or a privilege, am I measuring up? As I have been going over the Christmas story and getting, working through the preaching schedule and that type of thing. The first 2 weeks of this, I wanted to focus on two individuals in particular. We're going to look at a third one tonight in the evening service, but actually it'll be a couple tonight. But I want us to look at this morning, Mary, and then next Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at Joseph. Because he as well had a tremendous responsibility placed on him. And so we want to look at those things. But this morning I wanted us to focus on Mary. And out of this passage that Pastor Homer so beautifully read, I want to share with you six things, and I will try to move quickly. I want to share with you, first of all, the messenger. Secondly, the message. Third, the message response. Fourth, the miraculous meeting. By the way, I don't think there is such a thing as a message, because it's hard to say, and I don't think that they would have come up with that. So I did. Okay, fourth is the miraculous meeting. Number five, the moment of recognition. And then number six, Mary's praise. And so let's look at these. Let's first of all look at the message. We see in verses 26 through 29 that the announcement of what is going to be taking place isn't quite normal. Notice how this is brought out. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, this is Gabriel, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. I am going to take a wild stab here and say probably not a one of you had a visit from Gabriel when you were going to be giving birth. Now, that's just a guess. I think it's a pretty safe guess, but that's still just a guess. Well, you know, when you begin to think about this amazing moment, you had to know that Mary must have thought, wow, wow. I mean, here she is. She is, according to the scriptures here, a virgin. And the angel comes, one who had been directed by God. His name is Gabriel, you know, the one that all the songs are written about, you know, pick up your trumpet, Gabriel, and blow. You know, I mean, he's a pretty big dude in the angelic world. He's a pretty important guy. And God sends him to this young virgin to say, guess what? You have been chosen. You know, that's better than the sweepstakes that, you know, you always get in the mail. You have been chosen. You know, you are the winner, that type of thing. I mean, this is a unique moment in all of the history of mankind. Gabriel shows up. And his greeting is, Mary, you are blessed. Mary, highly favored one. Wow. She's common people. But you know what? God often uses the common people to do something miraculous in his world. And so we should never discount that God wants to use us. Because he does. He has a task for us. For every one of us in this room. He has plans for us that he wants to prosper us. He does not want to harm us. He has plans for us that he wants to be able to use us in great ways, just like he used Mary. And he trusts us if we'll just let him have control. Mary, highly favored one. Common girl that God wanted to use in an uncommon fashion. Carry my son into this world. Whew. That's heady stuff. So Gabriel, in obedience to the Father, comes to this child and says exactly what God tells him. Now I want you to notice, secondly, I want you to notice the message that he brings, beginning in verse 30 and reading through verse 33. It says this, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" Man, that's quite a promise, isn't it? Mary, here is the message that I want to give you. You're going to be overshadowed by God. You are going to produce a child who is going to be a king. You're a common girl. Who's going to be a king that's going to rule over a kingdom that will never end. Isn't that incredible? It'll never end. We have the tendency to think in the light of modern day kingdoms. You know, we really do. That's the way our minds think. We can only envision what we can see. And so, as we watch across our televisions, various events that happen, I remember shortly after the war in Iraq began. And they had captured Saddam, and they had captured some of his palaces and that type of thing. And as I was watching this special report that was on, they were, I think it might have been the History Channel, I don't know what channel, but they were showing some of his palaces with the marble floors. And with all the marble, you know, the marble stands and the, you know, the big huge stairways and the walls that just glistened, and there was stuff where there was gold that was overlaid in some of the artwork and that kind of thing that was in the house, and you're looking at that and you're going, wow, that is incredibly beautiful. But Sodom's kingdom came to an end, as has every earthly kingdom before, as will every earthly kingdom beyond. And so the messenger comes and he says, "Mary, I want you to know about this king. He'll rule over the nations. And to his kingdom, there will never be an end. This is going to be a pretty special child." Do you think Mary had some questions? Do you think that this virgin child is going to have this child? Do you think that she might have gone through asking herself a few questions? Am I up to the task? God, are you sure you can trust me with this? Have you ever asked God if you could be trusted? I'll be honest. God asks you to do a unique thing, whatever it might be. Have you stepped back and questioned, God, am I able? When I first sensed a call into ministry, I resisted that for a long time. I was not a good student in high school. In fact, I was a terrible student. The reason I was a terrible student was not because I was stupid and could not do the work. It was because I was stupid and would not do the work. See, there is a difference. But I was filled with absolutely continual self-doubt. God, surely you were shooting that arrow of your call at someone else and missed them and it hit me. You know, I just happened to be in the area when the call came down. And somehow they dodged the bullet and God, it hit me directly. And I began to question and question and question. And God kept putting His finger on my heart, saying, Lynn, I want you. I want you. I want you. Till finally, I said, okay. God, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And I think, folks, there have been those moments in your life when you will look at your life and you'll say, you know, I had those questions. And I questioned God. Someone came up and said to you, hey, we need a teacher in the kindergarten class. Kindergarten class? Me? Surely, God, you mean someone else. No, I mean you. Or someone has sensed a call in some form of ministry. Perhaps it's even speaking to a neighbor about their need for Jesus Christ. And you say, me? God, surely not me. But I'll bet there have been those times when God has asked you to do something for Him that was beyond your reasonable capabilities. But God said, I don't want your capabilities. I want your commitment. I don't want your reasoning. I want your resources of yourself for me. I don't want your money. I want your passion. When God calls us, He also equips us. What has God called you to? You see, this message that was brought to Mary was an amazing message that went beyond all sensible reasoning. A little bit of health lesson here. Virgins don't give birth. I don't know if they taught you that in school or not. But this one did. This one did. Was a miraculous moment. Third thing I want to share with you, I'm going to have to move a little quicker. I want you to notice the messagee's response. Look at verses 34 to 38. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin? Here's the roadblock I'm looking at, Gabe. Here's the trouble I have with this. How can this isn't the normal way things are done? How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It's okay to ask a question when God asks you to do something that is impossible. It's okay. What's God ask you to do? It's okay to say, "God, are you sure? I don't quite understand this. This isn't within my normal thought processes." But you see, it's okay to question. It's not okay to argue. It's not okay to refuse. When God asks you to do something, even if it seems beyond the realm of reality, if He has asked you to do something, He'll make it happen. He'll make it happen. And Mary resolved that in her heart real quickly. "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Gabriel says, "I'll tell you how. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is going to be the completer of this project that I have placed in front of you. That's why He's going to be called the Son of God. He's not going to be the son of Joseph. He's going to be the Son of God." Mary says, "Okay, I'm yours. Do with me what you will. Have you responded to God that way? When He has placed a call upon you, have you finally reached the point where you say, 'All right, whatever you will, I will do'? That's why, folks, Mary is called blessed. Had nothing to do with beauty. Had everything to do with submission. Submission to God and to His call upon her life. Mary, you will be blessed above all women for all of time. Quite a moniker for a young virgin girl. Submit yourself to the will of God, and He will do miraculous things through you. I want you to notice number four. Notice the miraculous meeting. Look at verses 39 to 40 through 41. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. A miraculous meeting takes place. You'll notice that the angel in verse 36 has declared, look, your relative Elizabeth, who is well beyond childbearing ages, God has asked her to do something special too, and that is to bring a child into this life when she has been barren, and she is beyond childbearing years. But God's going to make it work. And she's already in her third month. She's already with child. So don't speak to me about the impossible. With God, all things are possible. Mary submits herself and says, okay. And she gets up, and with haste, she runs to the hills to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the secret's out. You're with child. An angel of the Lord told me so. Elizabeth. And at the very greeting, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is a fulfillment of Scripture. When you look back at Isaiah and he talks about the forerunner that's going to become the forerunner of Christ, he is going to be the one who prepares the way for the Messiah. It says, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. From then, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here we have the evidence of that amazing miracle taking place. The fulfillment of what God declared hundreds of years before, probably 600 to 800 years before. And here is the fulfillment of it. He'll be filled. And when Mary greets Elizabeth, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. A miraculous moment. Which makes me wonder, why are we always amazed when God does what He said He was going to do? But we are, aren't we? We're just amazed when God does what He said He's going to do. As God said He's going to bless you, it's okay to be amazed when He does. But be filled with praise, thanking Him and giving glory and sharing what God has done, because that encourages someone else to be able to trust in Him, to know that He's going to do for them what He's promised to do because He did it for you. And so as Mary goes in and she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is just wowed by this amazing moment. And she is very privileged. And now look at verse 42 and look at what she says. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary. This is incredible. This is an awesome moment. And that becomes, if you will, number five, the moment of recognition. Look at verses 42 through 45. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? We already read verse 42. That was 43. Verse 44 now. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed am I, Mary. Because what the Lord has spoken, He's doing. When you submit to the will of God, you as well can say, blessed am I, because the Lord is fulfilling His will in me. He is honoring His word in me. He is fulfilling His promises in me. You don't have to be Mary. You don't have to be Elizabeth. You just gotta be you. And God will bless you. Number 6. Notice Mary's praise. Verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. My soul lifts up the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has had regard for the humble state of His bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. What did Mary do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Breaks the bow of the proud and elevates the heart of the humble. He is God. We need to have God moments. We need to have moments where we acknowledge who God is and what He's doing. And the more we submit ourselves to Him, the more we have those moments. Let God be God in you. Submit yourself to His will, and you will be called blessed as well. Let's stand. We're going to close by singing hymn number 124, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. I want to ask you, are you expecting Jesus to do something special for you? Well, submit yourself to Him, to His will, and He'll do something special for you. He'll bless you above all that you could ask or think. He'll do the miraculous in you so that he can perform the miraculous through you. If God is speaking to you today, if he's telling you, I've got something special I want you to do, why don't you, instead of resisting, submit yourself to him? We invite you to come to this altar today. No one will bother you. But perhaps you'd just like to spend a moment in praise to Jesus. Perhaps you'd like to spend a moment just in honest, open heart searching and ask God what he wants you to do. And then submit your will to his. Again, no one will bother you. You just come as we sing number 100.